Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Brandon.
Oh, this is weird. I'm Jenny.
See, this is why it's weird, dude.
It's not weird for me.
You should have. She always goes second.
It's fine. Just keep going.
She can still go second.
Let's keep going. No, it's good.
We'll do crisscross. Applesauce.
This is better. This is better. Do I have to say my name?
No.
Or are you going to say it?
Well, I was going to introduce you.
Hi.
I was going to introduce you, but now say your name.
No, I mean, I would rather you introduce me.
So today, Adam Scott is not here. I still get, sometimes I'll get messages about Adam Scott still. Like, hey, is
Adam Scott.
Like, yeah. Hey, is Adam Scott is really on your podcast? No, he's not really on our podcast. It's our Adam Scott.
It's such a normal name.
He really doesn't sound anything like him either.
No. But today, I'm not filling in. She's here to talk about some stuff she's doing and talk about our topic. And she's a big fan of our podcast, apparently.
Huge fan.
Kim
Glad
Beavers.
To be here.
Kim, what's up?
What's up?
Kimberly is your full name? Or you go by Kim?
That's Kimberly.
That's my mother's name.
Yeah.
Really?
Kim.
Good name.
I wonder if there's people just named Kim and not Kimberly. They're just Kim.
I mean, there have to be. I know that there are guys that are just Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know. It turns out I know a dude who's not Jeffrey. He's just Jeff. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happens.
I didn't know that happened. That was news to me.
Male Kims are probably more Vietnamese than not, I would
say.
Probably.
Like a male Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Kim Ji.
Or surname.
Yeah.
It's Korean, but sure.
Yeah. So today we're talking about second viewing films, like something that changed your mind on second viewing, whether it was good or bad, whether you went like, this movie sucked, and then you saw it again, and bam. This movie's actually good.
Mostly, if I can predict anything, it's that, you saw this when you were a dumb kid, and now you're a smarter adult, and you realize how terrible
it was. There's a lot of those. Yeah, there's a lot of those. But I try to do more...
Or the other way.
More adult things that I saw as an adult, and I really had a second viewing change of opinion.
Okay.
You know what didn't change my opinion? Scott Pilgrim. Still hate that fucking movie.
You still hate it?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it again. I should have rewatched it.
Did you like it?
I loved it when I first saw it.
You really didn't like it?
Didn't like it the first time, didn't like it the second time.
It's so much fun.
So are we throwing them out there now? Because that's on my list, guys.
Sorry.
It's very, I'll say this, Ricardo. It's very, very busy. There's not a lot of still, there's not a lot of moments.
Yep, so we're just going to keep talking about it, even though it's on my list. Really?
Okay, sorry.
Really?
We should talk about...
Have you never listened to this podcast either, Brandon?
Nope.
Nope.
Let's talk about movies that we recently watched in theaters or on Netflix. Oh. I guess we all recently watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fuck yeah, we did.
Except Kim. You didn't watch it.
Again.
Well, there's no spoilers here, so you're good.
Okay, cool.
I don't think there's any real spoilers for the movie anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. I loved it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I don't understand the comparisons to Serenity. And it's like, it's the same fucking movie, but better.
I actually don't get that either.
Yeah. You really?
Yeah. I think they're two totally different things.
All right.
I would not call Serenity a space opera, which I would say Guardians of the Galaxy is.
Oh. All right. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
But it was fun, man.
Keeping track of points.
Plus
here.
One. That's for
one
you.
For me.
I loved it, and I saw it again on Saturday.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Damn it. Why didn't you call me? We want to see it again, too, my wife and I, but we want to go see the IMAX.
I want to go see it again, too, but like for the first time.
Done with IMAX? Wait a minute. Done with IMAX?
Wait, what? Yeah.
What kind of shit is that?
I don't want to see 3D stuff on IMAX.
You're not going to, that's not going to happen.
Wait, what?
I want to see regular things in IMAX.
But that's not going to happen. Unless you go...
The 3D things in IMAX are so good.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy is... We saw the early presentation, the like Marvel fan thing or whatever. They gave out the crap poster.
Yeah.
We saw that 17-minute thing. It looks amazing.
I mean, it wasn't a crap poster, but it did say... it did say, you watched the special 17 minutes. And I'm like, I
guess what I'm talking about is the 3D presentation of the movie when we saw it, that 17 minutes, was great. Yeah. It looked really good.
Yeah,
and also you're not going to see a major motion picture on an IMAX screen that's not in 3D
unless Christopher Nolan does it. You know,
unless it's Christopher Nolan.
Ghost Protocol wasn't 3D.
Yeah, but I'm saying anymore. That was a couple years ago. It's just too much.
Right.
I know she's right.
She's right.
I know she's right. I just said yes, but that was a couple years ago. It's just the markup is too enticing.
All right. Fuck your markup. But I loved it. What else did you guys see?
So
did you see anything? I saw Boyhood.
Oh.
How's Boyhood?
I loved it. It's funny. I saw an article
It's funny?
No, it's funny, the article I read. Oh, the article I read was that it was that they didn't like the movie and too many people are calling it a masterpiece and because it's first world problems and it's like all this. And I'm like, then we shouldn't make a lot of movies because they're first world problems.
Yeah.
You shouldn't make Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, save that ire for Rob Reiner's next thing where it's like a super wealthy person having trouble opening a new business somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got mail.
I'm trying to think. No, I actually love You've Got Mail, though.
That's first world
problems. What am I thinking of?
Like, hey, look, I own this.
It's not even Rob Reiner. What was the one with Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep and Steve Martin? The one where she plays like a baker, but she's never in her bakery.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
And she's like trying to redo her kitchen. Like, that's a big point of conflict in the movie.
The Nancy Myers movie.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah, that one. It's complicated.
That's it.
What is complicated? Yeah. But okay, so I loved Boyhood. It's 3 hours, so be prepared. It went by pretty fast. It's really interesting. Not only did I like... It's funny because the article's problems was that it's first world problems, and it's like, oh, no one really relates to it. And I related to it a lot. I actually related more to some of the problems like the parents were having, or some of the like the grandparents are in the movie. I'm like, oh, I've definitely had those type of that grandparent.
I haven't seen it, but the first world problems thing strikes me as weird because isn't it just more about adolescence?
Yeah, it is. It is, but.
I mean, it was, white adolescents.
Yeah, yeah. it's true. But I mean...
There's still universal
all
themes
in all,
there.
There's a lot of universal themes that I enjoyed, and I loved it. And it's not my favorite Linklater, because he's made some amazing films, but I loved it. Actually, I came home and I immediately watched Waking Life, which is streaming on Netflix, by the way. Netflix Stream of the Week, Waking Life. Hashtag Netflix. But Kim, you're here to talk about a film you're doing.
Yeah.
It's a feature film.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
We're raising money right now on Indiegogo, and it's such a nice film that my co-producer wrote, and she's directing it, and we've got a lot of people from Playhouse West in it, and it's going to be good. I'm excited.
And Playhouse West is...
local theater company.
Yeah,
let me take over for Ricardo.
Thank you.
Too big of a swig of bourbon.
Yes. I was expecting that, dude.
Oh, my God.
Local acting school.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I met you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me.
You, yeah.
So you, and it's going to be written and directed by?
Virginia Crawford.
So, you know, the females directing, writing.
It's a big female.
Produced.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing I'm mentioning because they got a write-up. They got a bunch of write-ups because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's
no, it's important.
It's important. You were laughing at me in my face, you bastard.
Well, because of how you're describing it, you know, it's got all the chicks.
It's got all the chicks.
The chicks are getting together.
It was the most insulting PC sentence.
But you guys have gotten a lot of write-ups because it is.
Yeah, because there aren't a whole lot of women producing their own stuff right now and writing and doing all that. So
yeah. And where can people go to your Indiegogo and all that stuff?
If you just look up Jilted on Indiegogo, you find it. It pops right up.
And you could find all that on our website, thefilmpodcast.com. I'll put up all the links to her stuff. Mm-hmm. So you should check out. You guys have like a little trailer, I saw, right?
Yeah, we have a trailer, everything for it.
And you have.
We're ready to go. Like, we're ready to shoot this. We just need the money to raise it. Or we just need to raise the money to make it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
And so it's all done. It's all written. Everything's ready to go. Literally, it's ready to go.
Are you guys
going to film? Is that the movie you're going to film here or somewhere else?
We're filming it here and in Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where in Florida?
In Winter Garden, I think is what it's called. It's where Virginia's from. She has like a lot of hookups on locations.
Is it like north or southern? I grew up in Florida at a young age.
It's kind of by Orlando, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably outside Winter Park. That's where I was born.
Winter Park. Yeah. That area. Yeah.
That's where I was born.
Very nice. Very
cool. By Winterfell, right?
Very close. Winter Park Hospital.
Mm. Close to the wall.
Close to the wall. A lot of White Walkers in the area.
Wonderful.
Wow. White Walkers in Florida. Yeah. A lot of White Walkers. White Walkers. Lots of them. What
First
is it
world
about?
Problems. The film, it's about Lily, who is a wedding planner, and she gets jilted at the altar, and she's this planner that she plans everything in her life, and realize, like, kind of wakes up one day and realizes, like, all this planning has kind of been for naught, and tries to find questions in her life that she's been asking for a while, like, what, you know, why do people keep leaving me? Because she just recently found out that she's also adopted. And so she goes out on this road trip with her estranged sister, which is played by me, and then her ex-best friend, which is played by Ann Schmidt, and her college best friend, who plays her maid of honor, and that's played by Victoria Park. And oh, and Lily's played by Laura Stigers. So, I mean, it's a really nice story about a girl kind of coming, it's a kind of coming of age story, but like later in life, and just finding out what life is about, I guess. So
yeah, I mean, it's funny how that is more like prevalent now in movies, almost like a second coming of age thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you get one when you're like 15, 16, you know, when you're going to become have adult decisions to make. But then I feel like, especially like Garden State and stuff like that, it's like a second wave of it that you get.
Yeah.
In like your mid to late 20s.
I mean, I think the reason why Virginia wrote it was, well, the first reason is because she wanted to write a script featuring really strong ladies on screen. And also, she was also having this coming of age, like, realization of, like, I can't wait around for people to, you know, make my dreams come true. I can't wait around for other people to make my life happen. I have to do it. And just because something didn't work out the way that I had planned it, that's okay. Like, it's learning to kind of forgive yourself along the way and say, like, it's okay if your plans don't work out. Like, that's life.
Yeah. So.
And it's about, like, you know, the people that you share it with.
And I think you and I were talking, somebody, I hope it was you I was talking about, but, that it's not, like, about the girl finding the guy at the end.
Right.
It's not, I'm going to say it, it's not a chick flick.
No, it's not at all.
It's kind of a universal
theme. Even though
it
has a bunch of strong women on screen and very, very pretty women, too. with the exception of me, but
no, don't say that.
Oh, thanks, Ricardo. Thank you.
You're beautiful.
But no, I mean, it's a story about not about getting the guy. Like, that's completely
not
opposite
about
of what
not
it
about
is.
Being fulfilled by finding the guy.
Right? Yeah, we're so sick of seeing these women on screen, like, fighting for a man, and it's like, it's okay for guys to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, like, love stories have always been that, guys chasing after girls, but it's not okay for girls to do that anymore, which is almost kind of sad if you think about it.
Yeah.
I like that, though, because it sounds like that's like that kind of story is the jumping off point.
Yeah.
But
She's built up this whole idea of, like, her love life and her story, and it includes this perfect guy in it, and then he kind of just, well, he doesn't just kind of do it, he just bails and says, I can't live in this life that you've planned for me, like, I didn't plan for this, and, you know, I can't live in your perfect little world, like, I have another thing to do. And so he leaves.
Does
and
he
so
like
she's
to party
left.
All the time?
He likes to party all the time. So yes. that was their problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a great story.
Very cool.
I'm so excited to do it.
And you can find, again, all the links on our website and the post to this episode. So check out Second Viewing episode and you'll find all the links. And all the links to Kim's Facebook and
LadyRooster.com is where you can find all of our information.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very cool. So today we're talking about second viewings, things that changed our mind on a second viewing. Who wants to go first?
But it can also be like...
Here we go.
Well, here's what I'm saying. So I had a hard time...
excuse why you didn't come up with fucking five
No.
Don't spoil any more of my movies.
I'm sorry. I don't think I said Scott Pilgrim. I think he said Scott Pilgrim. I just wanted to continue the conversation that he started. But no, what I was going to say was it's hard. Like, personally, it's hard for me. I know because I was racking my brain when you told me last night.
Yeah.
I was racking my brain trying to think of, like, oh, I know there's things I've rewatched. I'm like, oh, what a stupid idiot I was thinking this was great. But this is terrible. But I don't, for some reason, like, I just phase those out of my mind. So the only things I can think of are the things that
So do you think that everything you saw in the 80s, like ah, fuck it, I'm going to dismiss all that because it was the 80s?
No, no, not at all.
Okay.
But the ones that I remember as being good, I think actually are good, or at least I haven't rewatched in a long time.
So I found that my problem wasn't that they were not good and I thought they were good. It was more that I saw them when I was so young that there was nostalgia to them. And even though they probably aren't good these days, even when I watch them, I'm still like, this is great because it's bringing up all these happy feelings from when I watched it when I was little.
Yeah.
And so if
that's
I
why nostalgia
it,
is dangerous.
Yeah. So if I saw it like now, yeah. they probably yeah, would true. Be awful. But yes,
it was
exactly.
It was a great article about nostalgia that you posted. Was it Dan Fracci?
Was it me?
Yeah.
Probably.
Dan Fracci wrote it, right?
Probably.
It was really well written about, it was, I was pretty blown. I was
about
like,
the
ah,
dangers of nostalgia?
Yeah. It was really cool. But yeah, I try to do more movies that I've seen as an adult that I just kind of dismissed or liked too much, jumped on that bandwagon, and then actually turns out that I actually hated them or the other way around. So,
well, why don't you start then?
I'll start it, and then that way Kim has a chance to build up her list.
Thanks.
So my before I forget, again, I did say the stream of the week is Waking Life, which is streaming on Netflix, but there's a bunch of cool movies that came on. There's a really cool Milius documentary. It's called Milius.
I check did out. Finally watch that.
I
it's
love
great, right?
It is.
That. It's so
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
good. It like kind of put me into this, and I think you were the one that turned me onto it. It put me into this like little depression for like a couple days.
Because you haven't done shit, right?
No, because it's like no matter what you do, no matter like how good you get or like how many things you do, your career can be crushed and like. After one movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, granted, he did some other stuff too, but that's terrifying. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's not a spoiler alert to like say what happens at the end, right?
I don't think so, right? I mean, it's a documentary.
The stroke? Yeah, the stroke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
A news.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
a
like,
news
that's
item.
A thing. That's part scared me too, because it's like your career crashes and burns, and then your health does too because of the way you lived your life because of your career.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a testament to that.
I mean, I was halfway through it and I had to like start writing something as I was watching it. Like I felt like halfway through it, I was like, oh, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Like I need to start writing something. And so that's what I started doing halfway through. I was like, I started writing notes for stuff.
Better fixes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, cause it was also very like, motivating at the same time, but it also put me into this like little funk where I was just like, damn, no matter what I write now.
But you didn't get those motivating feelings
the next day
and then look at it as like, well, I don't have that destructive of a personality.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I could probably go okay I'm good.
But yeah, it's a really good documentary. We're going to try to do, again, our stream of the week that we always used to suggest. But again, Waking Life, it's rotoscoped. It's really weird. It's
Waking Life?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I watched it a little inebriated last night, and it blows your mind.
I watched it. The last time I watched it was probably when I first started getting high. So I don't remember a lot of it, and I remember it blew my mind. Here's a good example to segue into the second viewing thing. I feel like if I watched Waking Life again, I would not be as impacted by it. I would find a lot of the philosophy very trite and college freshman-y kind of like big world, you know, thought kind of thing. Like, oh, we're all one big piece of the pie, man, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's how Kung Fu Hustle was for me. Ooh. It was really impactful the first time I watched it because I was really fucked up. And then watched it again, and it's still good, but it definitely didn't change my life the second time around. Tell you that.
You're like, why was I suggesting that movie to everyone?
I know, I was like, that hand, I thought it had like more impact at the end. It didn't. It was just a hand.
So I guess I'll start first. My first one, let me grab my list. I picked a movie that I didn't watch this too young, but I watched them all in one sitting. And at first I thought, I'll start off with the movie. The movie I picked for my number five is, The Godfather Part 3. And when I first watched it, I watched it. I watched all the three of them together, just back to back.
That was the first time you ever watched them?
Yeah. But you had seen the first two before.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You had seen the first two previous. No. Okay. No.
Well, bits and pieces.
You watched number one, it was the first time you'd seen number one. Okay, you watched number two, it was the first time you see number two, and you watched number three, it was the first time you see number three.
As an adult, yeah. I'd seen bits and parts when my dad was watching it or somebody, I walked in, someone watching it, but not sat and watched the movie to its entirety.
It's a long day.
Yes. It was actually a night. I stayed up all night watching them. So I stayed up all night watching the Godfather trilogy. And I went from one, which I watched for the first time in its entirety, two, same thing, and three. And when I got to three, I was in that role of watching all three of them, and I thought, I don't know why people are complaining so much about three. It's not that bad, you know? And time went by, and then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to revisit part three again. For some reason, I was like, people, I mean, I may be wrong, you know, and I watched
but
it again.
But by then, I'll bet you had rewatched one and two several times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then I watched three again, and I definitely... It was almost like so polarizing how much like I fucking hated the movie. Like I hated Godfather 3. Like, and I don't find any qualities. I mean, there's some cool stuff with Michael and Andy Garcia's character that I like. But besides that, like, it's not. I'm totally against that movie. It's almost like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull for me. Like, it's just, it almost ruins the first two.
I mean, I'll say this. I've seen one and two like probably a dozen times at least each. Yeah. Never seen three.
Yeah.
Not even once.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, not
good
even once.
Good for you. Good for you.
I don't, that's not good for me.
No, I think you've... It's like, that's your trilogy. Just two. And protect that. You know?
One and two and one. That's the trilogy for me.
Yeah. Rewatch one again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or splice one and two together, and then that's like...
There you go.
And put them in chronological order, part two. Okay. And that's your three. But yeah, Godfather 3. And we'll see again Sofia Coppola on this list later on. But yeah, this movie, I just...
Oh, I bet I can guess that.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't like it, and... But you know what? I can't dismiss... There were some great performances by, like, Tyler Shire is really great, and so is Al Pacino. Guy who plays Fat Tony on The Simpsons. What's the name?
Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna is great. Yeah, he's great. But overall, I the second viewing kind of ruined it for me. So that is my number five.
So we can't do TV.
No, why would it, this isn't a TV podcast, dude. That one's called Previously On the Podcast.
All right, then my number five will be a special selection. Okay. In that. It is a tie between Batman and Robin and Catwoman.
What?
Okay, so here's why. Listen, I don't have a list of five, so you're going to have to go with me on this. So,
why wouldn't you put them separate then?
Because they both are the same thing for me.
Okay.
When I used to have cable and either movie would be on, or movies like it that are just like Battlefield Earth, that are just famously bad, I can't help but just watch it because I can't ever remember how bad something is. And then I watch it and I remember how bad it is. And it never gets better and it never gets worse.
Okay, here's another example. I've never rewatched Battlefield Earth, but I didn't think it sucked first time.
Watch it again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Watch it again. Next time you see it on TV somewhere, try and watch it again. And It's just bad. Okay. It's not like, and it's not, it's this weird middle ground where you don't really see where everyone is trying to make, that specifically. Batman and Robin is different, where it's like, you know what they're doing, and it just doesn't work, right? It's, they're going for the camp thing, and it just fails, kind of. It doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But the Battlefield Earth thing is like, they thought they were making an amazing
sci-fi
epic. Yeah, and it's the worst.
No, this is the first of our trilogy of the Battlefield Earth.
And Catwoman, oh, God, it's just as bad. I've never seen the whole thing through. But I find it interesting that I have an attraction to them anytime they're on because I don't fully remember how bad it is.
But you like them at first?
No.
How does this fucking fall into this category, then?
I know.
That's he thinks he likes them, but then he realizes he doesn't like
them. No, it's not that I liked them in the first place.
Oh.
Here's what happened.
This just turned into a top five movies I don't like.
Yeah. Here's what happened. I kind of misunderstood what your concept was at first.
It was very clear. Everyone got it.
Well,
I had to get Rory to explain it to me. It's okay.
I thought it was good to bad, bad to good. And then I kind of got caught up in the idea that it was also maybe whether something holds up or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
no. But I'll give you the Batman Robin one, though. Because when I saw that, I was like, yeah, it's campy. You know, and then I saw it again. I'm like, why is Arnold?
I need to rewatch that because last time I saw that movie was in elementary school and I loved that movie.
No, you should watch it again now. You should watch it again as a rational adult.
See, now I should. That's why I should watch it again.
Well, you'll love everything.
I loved Chris O'Donnell. That was my thing.
I was about to say, you'll love everything Arnold Schwarzenegger does because it is the perfect amount of wrong.
Yeah.
Like him as Mr. Freeze is exactly wrong that it makes it kind of right.
Yeah. He's like, I'm cold.
It's windy. I'm cold. Bring a freeze to Gotham.
Yeah.
But everything else is so. By the time Chris O'Donnell's like surfing on the door, like out of the exploding like airship and got totally. Like. And George Clooney like playing it just a little bit, you know, just a tinge of gay to it.
Yeah.
Like, and because he said that later, he's like, you know, I didn't really know what to do with this. So I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe he just loves everything. And it's just bad. Yeah,
I haven't had a want to rewatch it, but last thing was positive about it.
I bought the box set, the Batman anthology.
Oof.
Yeah, my mistake.
What's all included in that?
It's one Returns, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
Oh, okay.
And it's just the old ones. And I rewatched all of them.
Wow.
And 3 isn't as bad as I thought it was.
I'd like to rewatch 3 because I bet Jim Carrey holds up.
He holds up. He was actually a decent Riddler. More Jokerish than Riddler, but still, it holds up. And I would have loved to have seen his version of the Joker, Jim Carrey's. It would have been interesting.
I think he was good as a Riddler.
All right. But Tommy Lee Jones is just funny to watch.
He's so bad.
and I forgot Drew Barrymore's in it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. That you could watch again. It's safe.
Batman Forever is the one I remember really liking, but I haven't seen it in probably 15 years.
That's another one I really liked, but I don't remember.
Yeah. All right. So that is your number 5. A weird 3-way tie that
sure.
Makes... All right.
I'll make them up as I go along.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go ahead and throw out my number 5 as Scott Pilgrim since we already mentioned it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it now.
Don't be angry about it.
I hated Scott Pilgrim, but I think it had a lot to do with Ricardo hating Scott Pilgrim, and we saw it for the first time together, and his hate for it just like flushed over me and made me hate it.
Boo. I don't like that at all.
And
stupid Ricardo.
Then I rewatched it without him and with people that actually liked it. And now I love that movie. And
it's
I can
fun.
Watch it all the time.
It's really great.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely. I love that movie. I'll watch it all the time now. I'm
really big on watching movies with certain people because, like, that's half of my list is that. Is people,
the wrong people.
Yeah, just seeing it with the wrong people. And then as soon as I see it with the right people, I'm like, this is the best movie ever.
I know.
Here's the thing that we saw with a big group of people. It wasn't just me. It was like 5 people unanimously. Like,
I feel
like
your Ricardo, you're very, though, very powerful with your opinions.
Really?
Yes. When you don't like something, you spread it.
But the thing is...
It's like a disease. Yeah.
It's like a STD. The thing is... like I'll see anything in theaters. I mean, I went to see Pompeii with Kim, which was the funniest experience because we were inside the theater already. So I text her. I'm like, hey, Pompeii's playing at the cheap $3 theater. We should go see it. And she's like, let's do it. So we show up. We're waiting there, and we snuck in our candies from the dollar store. And she leans over and she's like, how long is this documentary? And I'm like, that's
you guys,
so sweet.
This is real.
this actually happened.
And I'm like, no, this
like,
is
no,
not.
This is a documentary.
This is a fiction movie. What are you talking about?
Why is Jon Snow in it?
Yeah.
When Ricardo mentions to go see something, I was very relieved because I didn't really want to go see a documentary, but about Pompeii, because I've been there and it's like I don't need to see a documentary about it. But when Ricardo asked me to go see a movie, like, the answer is yes. Yeah. If I'm not doing anything, the answer is yes, always.
But the good thing is, after you saw the movie, you're like, I wish I would have seen the documentary. It would have been more entertaining.
Pompeii? Yeah. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If so, they were to have made a documentary about Mount Vesuvius erupting, that would have been pretty incredible.
In 3D. Scott Pilgrim, it was five of us. I hated it, and I watched it again, still don't like it. I just don't like the main character, the female lead. I forgot her name.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
No,
Ramona Flowers.
I hate her. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you're why? Horrible. Like, why am I going to fight all these people? Like, too much work. I don't want to be your girlfriend, to be your boyfriend. See you later. And I just walked away.
But it's not...
she it's doesn't not, make him do it.
But it's also not literally about that.
And then he was
you know, the whole thing is a true. Metaphor, right?
He was addicted to the other girl, and all she wanted was to love him.
That is actually the only thing I didn't like about it, is how much of a dick he was to...
Dux Malloy? What's her name?
Yep. Dux Malloy.
Knives.
Dux Malloy. Knives Chow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Dux. The next thing you write, though, there's a character named Dux Malloy.
Dux Malloy.
Dux Malloy.
Quack, quack, ducks.
But on second view, you loved it. You loved it.
Yep, and now I still love it.
It's fun. It's really fun. The music's really good.
Yep.
See, I don't disagree with that.
Everyone in it is great.
Yeah.
Is Chris Evans in that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, he's amazing. Him and Brandon Routh are amazing. Mm-hmm. Chris Evans is probably the best in it, though.
Yeah.
He has the best moment where he's walking out of the trailer and the Universal theme plays.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Right.
And what's his face? Jason Schwartzman. I was doing glasses for some reason.
He always wears glasses.
Glasses, you know?
But all right, so that's your number four. You went from hating it to loving it. Sorry, from hating it to loving it.
Yes.
And so far we've gone from loving it to hating it, right? Well, Brandon doesn't count.
You went from hating it to
why don't I
hating
count?
It.
I loved it.
What's your number five?
probably Requiem for a Dream.
Ooh. I'm interested.
The first time I saw that, I think I was just getting into acting, and everybody was talking about what a great movie it was, and I was just like, I watch it, and it just wasn't what everybody was saying that it was going to be. And after I watched it, I was like, man, I want that 2 hours back, because now I'm really depressed. And the whole point of the movie is, like, don't do drugs. And
all I want to do is go do drugs.
Yeah, and all I want to do is go do drugs now. And I don't know. Like, it was just really depressing for me, because it's like, I don't know.
But then you, on second
viewing. Yeah, and I watched it with my mom, which made it a little strange.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies that I watch with my mom where I hate them the first time because it's just so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then the second time I watch it with like friends or by myself or something, and it's a lot better. Like in this case. So I watched it for the second time. And it wasn't near as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was just so depressing the first time.
It is. I feel this one belongs in the category. We haven't done this topic, but movies that you don't need to see again.
Yeah, I
haven't watched it again.
It's a great movie. I love it. I just don't need to see it again.
I don't ever need to see it again now. Because because so many people talked about it being so good that I felt like I had to give it a second chance. Yeah. Like, I just had to.
Like, and what am I missing? What am I missing here?
Yeah, I mean, the acting was great and everything. It was just the direction of it.
So what? The second time, what did you love about it?
I wouldn't say that I loved it. I would say that I liked it more. Yeah. The performances were even better the second time that I saw it. Because the first time I was just so caught up in the story of like, man, this is depressing. Like, how do you get past drugs? Because as soon as you start doing pot, then you're just going to die and go to hell or something. Like, I don't know. Like, that was whenever I first saw it. Like, that was the feeling I got from it.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
Yeah. When I first saw Requiem for a Dream, it was my freshman year when I went to college out of high school. I had just started experimenting with marijuana, and it was great. My experiments were successful.
Yeah.
Well, then you got really high and went to see this movie?
Across the board. No, I watched it. So I started going out with this girl who ended up being my girlfriend for a long time. But I started going out with her, and this was... So I went over to her dorm room to, like, hang out with her for the first time and, like, kind of sleep over. Like, so we laid down on the bed, like, next to each other, and we were watching Requiem.
Get closer to the mic and do it slower.
Okay, so we're lying down, right? Pulled out that DVD. I just slid it right in.
I'd say normal, dude. Can't keep a straight face. So
I hit play.
This was like the first date night?
So I'm a really, like, when it comes to, like, courting, right? Yeah. I'm super shy and I don't know how to make a move.
Oh.
So we're laying
there. So I'm going to put in Requiem for a Dream.
And this is the first night she's like, no, why don't you just come over to my dorm room and we'll watch a movie or something and hang out. So we're lying in her bed.
You couldn't,
and the movie
you couldn't
we,
bring over 9.5
the
weeks.
The movie we put on, I was not that advanced yet. I couldn't even do Hot Shots. the movie we put on is Requiem for a Dream. And, like, I don't know what to do. It's too intense. We're high.
Oh.
Like, feeling like probably on some level some internal doubt over the choices we made. And like, and I don't, and so we just ended up going to sleep afterwards.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
in
not
some
one where
weird
you...
internal depression.
Yeah. You don't fool around after that movie.
No, that was, yeah, that
you
was
just
a weird.
Go to sleep. You just cry yourself to sleep.
That was a weird choice. It's like, no, I heard Requiem for a Dream. It's really good. No, it's about drugs, right? Sure, it's about drugs. Yeah,
let's get high and then watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is the word. Milk was a bad choice.
So hot. And I'd already been through watching Leaving Las Vegas with my dad. Oh. Where like we're driving home in complete silence, and I'm like, well, that was fun.
That's a great double feature.
That's another one. Yeah, that's another one. It's like, I need to see it again.
Like, if you want to kill yourself, you watch those two movies, and it'll push you right over the edge.
But Requiem for a Dream, I mean, but that speaks to its intensity.
Yeah,
like
it is
intense. Yeah.
Which I think has a lot to do with the directing. I thought like, and also
it's an amazing movie.
After that movie, you had a lot of copycats copying that style of like the jump cuts he did and all that stuff.
Sure,
it was really cool.
And the score. Aronofsky. How disappointed was everyone when they used the score from Requiem for a Dream in the trailer for The Two Towers? But then it never showed up.
Yeah,
I was bummed.
It's Philip Glass, right?
Or who is it? No, Carter Burwell.
Oh, really? Clint Mansell?
No, Clint Mansell. That's
yes,
right.
Clint Mansell.
Like that. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. That is your number five. Mm-hmm. Okay. My number four is we're bringing back Sofia Coppola for a different shift. I went from hating it to liking it.
Oh, I wonder if I'm right.
Hated it, then liked it. Lost in Translation.
I was right.
Yeah?
I was right.
First time I saw it, I mean, it came out in 2003, and I was... I had a certain screenwriting teacher, and he hated this movie. And I was kind of like, I was really influenced by what he had to say. And
impressionable youth.
Yeah, yeah. And I hated this movie because of that. But I always loved the stillness in it. That's the first thing I loved in the movie was how still it was, right?
Fucker.
And then after I was out of that class, and I watched it again, I definitely changed my mind, and I really love it now. I recently rewatched it, maybe like 2 months ago, and because it was on Netflix streaming, and I loved it. I love the stillness. I love what she had to say. I love how boring it is at points. You know, like that's just like the mundane part of life sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And the acting's good. There's some people who hate Scarlett Johansson. I dig her. I dig when she does things like this.
I feel like, so my wife, your friend Kelly, she has had this weird hatred of Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
And it always weirded me out because I didn't know exactly why.
It was this movie?
No. I think she just saw her as like kind of like she was this hot thing, but kind of bland in movies, mm-hmm. which I actually see up to a point.
I see, but this movie calls for that.
I think, and it's a double-edged sword in that I think that was kind of her strength.
Yeah, and she doesn't do well when it's a high, like, fast-paced thing.
Right.
And she comes in and she talks like this. And,
right, and she's got a, like, a deeper, soft kind of voice.
Yeah.
Like, not, it's like in between, like, the deep, raspy, like, sexualized voice and, like, a whisper kind of thing. Like
Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Hello, honey.
But so she got a lot of those kind of roles where she's just, like, kind of an avatar for a person, you know?
She's really great in, like, those coming-of-age films, like Ghost World. She's awesome, man.
Yeah, well, that's where she got everything
from. Yeah, Ghost World, this, and The Man Who Wasn't There. I really dig her in that.
I forgot she was even in that.
Yeah, yeah. She plays Birdie. That's right. But I dig her in this, and I like the whole cast. Like Bill Murray's amazing. Bill Murray, I think you and I have talked about how I think the next like serious actress to come out of SNL, like Amy Poehler will always be funny to me, and mm-hmm. I don't see her playing serious roles. But the person who I see playing really serious roles, like where she'll get nominated for something, is Kristen Wiig. I think she has that that sadness that Bill Murray has.
Someone else said that I was echoing. I can't remember who that said she had the same kind of detached sadness that Bill Murray pulls off.
I totally see that.
And
like now she's doing Skeleton Twins and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig and I it just that it's going to be a great strength. The fact that she's like a sad clown. Like it's really good.
But he just has that fucking face. Like he can just make you laugh.
Yeah.
Like where it's the montage of him doing the Scotch ad.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so good. Yeah. The karaoke scenes.
Yeah.
So good. Especially that you know he loves to do karaoke. Yeah. So good.
But a great movie. A lot of it's funny watching the special features, you see how much they stole. Like literally meaning like they didn't have permits for some things, and they just go in, steal shots, and
that's so cool.
Seeing like it's weird because she was still with Spike Jonze at the time, and Giovanni Ribisi's playing basically Spike Jonze.
Yeah,
which is really weird because you see him he actually directed the making of. You hear his voice a lot, and you're like, oh wow, this is weird. Like, I wonder how he feels that she put him in this movie as himself. That's so weird. It's like an odd.
He probably knows it about himself. Yeah.
They're both those kind of artists. I'm sure they don't give a shit either way.
Yeah, yeah. But that's my number four. I went from hating it to loving it. You?
Okay, so I'll go for a classic choice.
Okay.
This is something that I loved. In fact, I often put it as the best one of the two movies that it is.
Okay.
But I recently rewatched it, and it could not be worse. Wayne's World 2.
Really?
I haven't
rewatched it in a while.
So awful.
Aww.
It is. I used to, like in retrospect, I used to think about it and be like, no, I really liked a lot of this. I liked a lot of the concert stuff. You know, the roadie was a really fun character and everything. And he is it. That's it. That's it in the movie. That's the only redeeming quality is the legendary roadie character. It is. Everything else is like, and I don't know what it is. It might just be years of experiencing more Mike Myers. And like I don't want to say shtick because that's not fair, but it's just really bad. I don't know how to explain it. It's so many things just don't hit the mark at all. Something that I remember like guffawing about.
I've never seen this movie, so
you've never seen Wayne's World 2?
No.
Wow.
Like the scene where they're getting the permits from Kevin Pollak, who has the lazy eye, and so all the jokes are about his lazy eye. Like, it's just so, like, telegraphed, and it's just awful. We stopped it halfway through.
My favorite Mike Myers performances are the ones where he's not playing himself. Like, not playing, like, a Mike Myers character. Where he's playing, like Inglourious Basterds, I liked him in.
Oh, he's amazing.
I liked him in 54.
54, he was good.
I liked him in anything where he's out of his element.
I don't remember him in Inglourious Basterds.
He is, so there's the first scene with Michael Fassbender where he's meeting with like the British officers.
And Churchill.
And Mike Myers is the one on the opposite end of the room. Like, because they're in the giant room when Fassbender walks in.
He's in costume.
He's got prosthetics.
Awesome.
Yeah. He is
That's
really
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's like, I will defend the first Austin Powers movie. That is a classic.
It really is.
It is genius. Yeah. Like, what he did with all that stuff was amazing.
Well, also, he took something that was unfamiliar and made you like it. Like, something that wasn't familiar.
Right. You listened to his interview, right? Yeah. On WTF. Yeah. Which is an amazing interview. But yeah.
That made me like him again.
But that thing you said about, like, the thing that someone else, I can't remember who said about Austin Powers, was like, you took something that was completely unfamiliar to Americans and parodied it and made it work.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And that's true. Like,
Steve Martin said that, I think.
Yes, that's right. Because no one had ever seen any of the Flint movies. Like, no one had seen In Like Flint.
No.
And like, I remember.
That's what made people watch In Like Flint.
Exactly. I remember a year after Austin Powers, I watched In Like Flint, and there's that scene where like there's the guy like with his hand up, like, no, like, as he raced towards him. I'm like, oh, well, there's the scene. But back to Wayne's World 2, it's just, I felt like everything falls flat.
But you liked it at first.
I loved it at first. And before I had rewatched it, I would say that that was my favorite Wayne's World movie.
And I won't lie, the first one, I've watched in pieces. I never watched it in its entirety.
I still enjoy, I have rewatched the first one, and I do still enjoy a lot of it.
Yeah.
But Wayne's World 2 is just too much. Okay. Just,
I way overwatched both of them in high school. Those were our movies, was the two Wayne's World movies. And so I haven't watched them, either one of them, since high school. So I have no idea how I'd feel about
it. I feel like Wayne's World still holds the charm.
Yeah.
Whereas Wayne's World 2 doesn't.
They've got to hold some nostalgia thing for me. I feel like I'm still going to like them. I really do.
Man, I want you to watch Wayne's World 2 again. It is, because I felt the exact same way. I was like, oh yeah, we'll watch this. I haven't seen this forever. Ugh. 45 minutes in. God,
sorry.
Scared me.
Sorry.
That was like.
That scared
like,
me too.
It's like. So Wayne's World 2, your number 4.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jenny, what is your number 4? All right.
So my number 4, I'm going to go with. I got to take one of these off.
You have too many movies.
Yeah, but they're all like yours. They're all like the same feeling, like the same reasoning behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so for my number 4, I'm gonna do the Step Brothers, or just Step Brothers. Step Brothers.
Is this a French film called Les Step Brothers?
Les Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Step Brothers. So maybe I just didn't get it, or I like saw it with the wrong people again or something, but I just like hated it the first time I saw it. I thought it was the stupidest thing.
The one with Will Ferrell
and John C. Reilly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. I'm on the same boat.
I hated it. But then the more it was just on TV or someone had it on or something, and now I quote it like all the time.
It's a quotable movie. It doesn't mean that it's good though, I think. I don't know.
I think it's a lot.
Napoleon Dynamite. Did you guys like love Napoleon Dynamite?
I hate it now.
Yeah, but I think
there's still funny scenes in it.
That's one on my list.
Okay, yeah. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that.
Well, see, the thing is with Step Brothers, this is how I feel, and you tell me that I feel like it's great. It's got really great bits, like SNL bits. And you're like, oh, that thing's so funny with the drums, and he's sweaty, and like,
yeah.
But like as a whole movie, it doesn't work because it doesn't work as
I would
as
never.
A whole story.
I never feel like I need to see that movie. Like if it's on TV, I'll watch whatever part's on, but I don't keep watching it. That's true.
I mean, it's essentially two grown men playing. What, 7 year olds? Like 5 year olds?
Yeah,
exactly. And,
which makes it funny, but then that kind of wears off like halfway through the movie.
You're like, how are you doing the whole movie on this?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a great sketch. Very funny.
I'll bring up a movie that's on my honorable mentions, but it's the same actor. I saw Anchorman on a preview screening. So I saw it before like the trailer was out, and I didn't like it. And then
I saw that a lot, like all over, because I was trying to find ideas to start getting my brain going. Yeah. And a lot of people said that they hated Anchorman the first time.
I did. And then like after like a third viewing of like watching on TV and stuff, I love that movie now.
I don't think I ever hated Anchorman though. I never hated Anchorman.
Yeah.
I think I've always the very first viewing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jenny and I always quote poop face. Jenny's number 4. Brandon had to go to the bathroom, so
I
will pee-pee. her pick was Step Brothers, the Will Ferrell.
I've never seen Step Brothers.
Good for you.
No, right. Not at all.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah. Because I've seen parts of it and I really liked it, but I've never seen the whole thing.
It doesn't hold up. It just doesn't.
Well, I went from
4 years ago?
I went from not liking it to liking it, though.
Okay.
But I still don't think I would watch the whole movie. But I like parts of it more than... Like, I like hated it when I first watched it, and now I like... It's quotable. That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
It's quotable.
Yeah.
I just like how I came back in and Ricardo said, like, oh, good, you've never seen it. I was like, well, no, we've all been talking about how I enjoyed it the second time I watched it.
I know.
But you could watch pieces of it and enjoy, like, the bits in it. But
oh, maybe I haven't seen the right bits. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Fucking Catalina Wine Mixer.
See, there's a lot of cool little bits like that.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh, that's fun. But then, like, you watch the whole thing. You sit through the whole thing again, and you're like, oh, I realize why. I forgot. I didn't like this movie. There's just some funny scenes in it.
Yeah.
But Adam Scott's funny. Adam Scott is good when he's a dick.
Yeah, he plays a really good dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good.
And I like when like serious actors take that funny role, like Mary Steenburgen. She plays the mom.
Yeah.
I love her in this, and I love her in Clifford. Have you guys seen Clifford?
Oh, Clifford's one of the best.
I love her in that.
I want to say Mason.
I said he had the best looking wig. I believe in the difference.
Clifford is amazing.
Who plays their dad?
Richard Jenkins.
Jenkins, yeah. He's great when he's funny. Like,
oh, he's hilarious all the time, I feel like. I just always think he's funny. Even when he's, even in the upcoming movie where he's like dying on the bed, I bet he's going to be hilarious.
What is your number four?
Well, since we seem to be on like an SNL cast member kick right now, I'm going to go with Elf. The first time I saw that, hated it. Hated it so much. Like, I swore I would never see it again. And then I did, and I liked it.
How could you hate it?
I'm going to get on your wagon.
Everybody asked that. And so that's why I had to see it again, because everybody kept talking about how great it was and all. Like, that really sets me up for like a big failure on my movies, because everybody's like, it's so good, you have to see it. And then I go see it, and I'm like, it's not as good as everybody was saying.
Yeah.
Arms folded.
Speaking of movies,
but it was so good the second time I saw it. I loved it.
Let's segue real quick, because I think, was it you the one I was talking to who said, nah, not a fan of comic book movies? Were you the one who was saying that?
Yeah, I think that was me.
I want to. No. This is good though, because I think.
Sounds like her hair is going off list.
No. I really wanted to tell her to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's.
Oh, I want to see. I really want to see that.
It's the least like comic booky of all the movies.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, well, I'm going to take the opposite position and it might be the most comic booky.
What? I know.
Because it is the weirdest, most out there. It's cosmic Marvel stuff.
I know, but
one of the locations of the movie is the severed head of a celestial, which was an ancient race of universal beings. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
But it's at least like superhero-y, that's what I mean.
I think I could totally like that movie. Yeah, okay. Like, I don't like those movies. It's that I don't usually want to go pay to see them.
Yeah.
So it's like, if somebody else pays to see it, I'm probably going to like it. I don't usually want to go spend my money to go see those types of movies.
Was it superhero or comic books that you don't like?
It's just Comic-Con type movies. Like, movies that you would see, like, being premiered at Comic-Con, that's not usually the type of movie I would be like, you know what? I cannot wait till that comes out. I'm going to sit outside all night and wait. You know? Whoa. Like, that's just
I would say Marvel to their
credit. Yeah.
But I would say Marvel to their credit has made each movie, like, a completely different thing. Like, yeah. Winter Soldier was, like, a 70s paranoid, like, espionage movie.
Yeah.
And... Well, Thor is Captain America? Crazy as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Captain America, another movie where I was like, eh. And then I watched it again. I'm like, fuck, it's great.
Dude, cut it out. You're ruining all the lists.
You were your phone was even earlier.
No, I meant you're talking about lists.
Avenger?
Sorry. You were talking about
another movie.
Sorry. You were talking about what?
Elf.
Yeah.
I hated it as well. I hated it as well.
I really did not
hated
like it.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it.
It's so much fun.
You still don't see it like again. It. Do you?
I still watch it.
You could be indifferent,
again,
but hated it.
There's funny bits. I like the doctor scene with Jon Favreau.
He hates Christmas, okay?
I do hate Christmas.
I don't like Christmas either, and maybe that's it. Like, and I saw it with my mom, who also doesn't like Christmas. And so we were like...
Hold on. They just high-fived against Christmas. Jenny,
fucking Christmas. Yeah.
It's the best.
The lights, the music. It's
Thanksgiving is my holiday.
Yeah, that's my holiday.
I literally just said I can't wait to hear Christmas music like 2 weeks ago. I told her, I was like, Christmas music like 6 months away.
That's when I turned the
Christmas
radio
is
off.
All the food from Thanksgiving.
No.
And you get presents.
And snow and
lights and
music and hot cocoa
and cheer, good cheer. Oh, sorry.
Here's the thing.
We're not going to be down with the good cheer.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to be down with the good cheer. This last Christmas, we were fortunate enough that we got to be out of town for Christmas.
Okay, when you say out of town,
we don't need to discuss.
Look,
it
I love
it.
Okay, my girlfriend hated it. She's like, we don't have a Christmas tree and like, you know, like the stockings.
They're
and
fucking I was
like, this
Paris.
Is fucking awesome. This
They're
is
in
awesome.
Fucking Paris, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
And Michelle hated it. She was like, I wish I was home with like Christmas tree and like all
she
this.
She likes
things.
Tradition.
She likes
not
traditional
only that,
stuff.
But you got to be in London around Christmas also.
Who?
Didn't you?
No.
Oh, you just ran out of Paris?
Just yeah. Paris, yeah.
Oh, you missed it.
Yeah.
We tried.
Oh, well, never mind. I bet it did suck.
I know. Yeah. Now I get it.
But Elf? The French, they kick squirrels off the Grand Canyon.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Did somebody do that?
You didn't see that?
No, wait, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know.
A guy filmed... Sorry, this is way tangent. Sorry.
No, it's it.
A guy filmed a couple French tourists luring a squirrel up to the edge of the Grand Canyon with like breadcrumbs. And then they just like, and he was like, I didn't know what was happening. I thought they just wanted to get close to the squirrel. And then one of the guys just fucking kicked it off the ledge.
Who the hell does that?
The
Who
French.
Who does that?
The fucking French.
Wow. Oh my God. Well I'm not, I'm just going to say, when I first saw the Mad Max, the new Mad Max Fury Road trailer, and like within 5 seconds he steps on a lizard, I literally go, in the whole theater, like in the whole Hall H, I was so upset that he stepped on a lizard's head.
Well, it was double headed. It was a mutant lizard.
We were watching. We were watching at your house, thing. And I knew that Kelly
mutant
would
just
have
just because he was a little different.
Yeah, I was with someone who I knew would have a weird reaction to that also. That but was, then everything else that followed was so badass that yeah, I figured it would wash it, out it everything blew else. Over.
That was my girlfriend's main complaint about Guardians of the Galaxy. Don't spoil it for. There's a scene in the beginning where he kicks something. And that was my girlfriend's main complaint.
Oh, but that's so much fun.
Well, I tell her that.
Nothing
yeah,
gets
don't,
hurt.
Don't tell me about it. I haven't seen it. It. Yeah.
That could not be a spoiler. Back to Elf. There's fucking back to alien Elf. Creatures in the
back,
city.
Back yeah, to
what?
Elf.
How is that?
Don't tell me.
Seconds.
Back to Elf. okay. I think there's funny bits in it. I yeah. still don't. I never want to go sit down and watch it. I still
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, it's still kind of one of those for me. But, I wouldn't be like, you guys, let's put on Elf. But like, I really want to see that movie.
You want to watch Elf? I'll watch Elf.
Like,
But if someone's playing
but
it...
But I don't hate it anymore.
Yeah, if someone's playing it, I'll watch a bit, the funny bits. So yeah. Like, oh, this bit's coming up. I like.
And then you walk out.
And then I walk out. I'm like, all right, I'm busy doing shit.
Or just tell them to fast forward.
Yeah. Did you put the bit where he has the pasta with the syrup? Which he had
Santa
put in
Claus.
His mouth.
I know him! You know him.
There's so many great actors in this. Peter Dinklage,
so good.
Yeah, Kyle Gass. All right, so that is your number four.
Yeah,
I agree with you 100% on that.
Thank
one.
Thank you.
My number, where are we? Three.
Yes.
My number three. I'm gonna make it quick. Is American Psycho. The first time I saw it, I was like, it's all right. You know,
that's a good one,
right? Because I definitely, I never, I never read the book.
I did too.
So I didn't know that it was a amazingly funny movie. And I took it as like, oh, and I think, I don't know what I had seen before this. Maybe I had seen like Maniac Cop or something. And I went in with that feeling of like, oh, is it going to be like a really good, interesting, like, you know, take on a psycho. And then on a second viewing, like I was like, man, this movie's so fucking funny. Am I just morbid or and then ever since then, it's one of my favorite comedies. It's if I have to make a top 10 list of favorite comedies, American Psycho's like at least 8.
Okay, now that's insane.
It's amazingly funny.
I'll go ahead and say so funny. Because that's such a perfect choice for me. Also, I will say that that's my number three as well.
Really?
Because I hated it when I first saw it. I mean, I hated it. Hate.
Did you think it was anything other than a comedy?
Well, I still wouldn't say it's a comedy.
Oh, it's a full comedy.
It's definitely. I mean, that's what it's listed yeah. as. It's
I would
comedy.
Say that that's what Bret Easton Ellis would say, but I don't. But I wouldn't agree that it's a comedy. I think it's dark. It's a dark yeah. comedy for sure.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not gonna. If I want to laugh, I'm not gonna put on American Psycho.
Oh, I do. I do. I do. It's just the lion.
But watching it again, because I did rewatch it like a couple, like maybe a year or so ago, I rewatched it after having seen it the first time and hating it. And I only then did I get the satire of it.
Oh, I love it.
I love every time he's explaining 80s pop music.
Oh,
that is amazing.
I like when he that girl wants to go on a date with him and they're at the dry cleaners. And he keeps saying, and he's all Friday, and she's all Friday. I can't Friday.
And I think it helps that I've had years of Christian Bale not seeming to have fun at all in anything he does.
This yeah. is fun for him.
So then you watch yeah. American Psycho, and you're like, oh, he got it.
Yeah,
he got where the fun was.
Yeah,
in it.
That's true.
So it's like, it was more of a relief at that point to see Christian Bale like having fun at a thing as opposed to not at all.
My other thing is that I quote a lot when people tell me, hey, what are you doing? I say, I'm returning some videotapes at night, so I'm busy.
But that's it. The scene where they're all comparing business cards and like he starts sweating. Yeah. Like it's so anxiety ridden. It's not really a funny scene, but it's just so like ridiculous.
And amazingly great, filled with great character actors and actors.
Oh yeah,
like what's his name? Chloe Sevigny is in it. Mm. Willem Dafoe.
Is Cole Hauser one of the guys?
No, you're thinking of the guy from 30 Seconds from Mars.
Jared Leto. I'm confusing Cole Hauser with Jared Leto.
I think so. I don't think Cole Hauser's in this. There's
another guy that's kind of Cole Hauser. Like
Are you thinking of Justin Theroux? Maybe.
Let's all look it up on our phones.
There's another guy. No, there's another blonde guy, like in the group of dudes.
Yeah. And then there's Reese Witherspoon, Samantha Mathis.
Oh, that's right, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, Josh Lucas.
Yeah. Josh Lucas. Yes. That's who I'm getting it mixed up with. Yeah.
Yes.
But a great cast, really funny, and it definitely again changed my opinion. I went from hating it to loving it. I genuinely love this movie.
I went into it hearing enough about how funny it was that I knew it was going to be funny.
Well, you saw it like just recently, right?
Yeah,
as an adult, last year. You enjoyed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I did.
Like, same thing for me. Just recently saw it. I think I'm probably going to go home and watch it again tonight.
I know,
I really
right?
do like that
I had,
movie.
I had been waiting for the. I had wanted to rewatch it for a long time, but it wasn't on streaming. Mm. And honestly, the couple of video stores that are in our area, like in Studio City and stuff, they didn't have it.
Oh, wow.
On DVD. So, like, I couldn't. Well,
I have it on DVD and Blu-ray.
Anyway. But I had to wait until it was on streaming to, like, order it and watch it.
And possibly Laserdisc.
Three times at the same time.
Yeah. And a digital copy.
Anyway, that's my number. That's my number three. Jenny?
Oh, okay. So, my number three. I'm going to take it back to superheroes, Marvel.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go with Thor.
Ooh.
I really thought I liked that movie.
You're going the other way.
And I think just the hype of it, like, and Chris Hemsworth is his last name, right? Yeah. And like all the people in it, and it was a great cast, and it was pretty, and it was like a great see, like the really well like filmed and stuff. And I thought it was
Kenneth
Branagh. Yeah, and I was like, this is something different and crazy, and I loved it, and I really thought I liked it. And then I just actually finally rewatched it after Thor 2. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back and rewatch the first Thor, and
because
I hated it.
You really liked Thor 2, right?
I mean, I liked Thor 2
better than a lot
of the other ones.
It's way more fun. Way
it
more,
is, yeah. My list for Marvel movies is like Thor and Captain America 1 are both
holy shit
down there. I didn't like Captain America 1 that much either.
Whoa.
Is that why you got mad? Is that next on your list?
Well, no, I thought about combining the two. Sorry, is that really loud?
No.
I thought about the combining the two, but Captain America, I don't hate it by any means. I just didn't like it that much. I mean, like, I don't feel like I ever need to see it again.
We saw it at midnight, like, on the second night of Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like it at first because I had seen it so late and I was so tired. But on a second viewing, I really enjoyed it. And it pairs well with part two because it's such a different movie. And it's really great to go, oh, look where he was when he first
was created. I love part two. Part two.
Oh, part two is amazing.
A lot. Yeah. But my problem is that, origin stories are hard. Origin stories are hard. And they can't seem to, like, some people just can't seem to find the balance with origin stories and introducing all the characters and then also throwing in enough action. And that one was one of them where I just felt like there wasn't enough to, like, cover up all of the introducing everybody and, like, showing how he's made and everything. And it was, like, almost I felt like over half the movie was just introducing him and, like, figuring out his stuff. And I thought that was too much.
But I would say that's what made the first Captain America so great. Because I felt like they nailed it. I agree with you. They nailed Steve Rogers as a person. I mean, not only was the effect good of having Chris Evans as like the scrawny guy, but they nailed the character transitioning into Captain America.
I just felt like it could have been faster. That part could have been faster.
See, I will agree. There's
mixed in.
Yeah.
In, some, like further back in the story a little bit and like has some action in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I would agree that there's like middle act two problems where like every you're being introduced to him being a hero through a montage.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a problem. It sucks because I love Winter Soldier so much, but I wish we had another movie of him in World War II.
Yeah.
Like I wish we had more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't negate how much I love him as like scrawny Steve Rogers, like jumping on the grenade, you know, becoming, you know, Captain America, even though you get that kind of crab montage in a not so good third act.
Yeah.
But, oh God, it's so good. Anyways,
that one's not even on my list. It's Thor that's on my list.
But Thor 1, it was more about like, it was like fish out of water instead of being like, moving forward with the story. It was just too much like, look at me, I don't understand.
It was such
technology.
A side thing. Yeah. I like didn't mesh well with all the rest. It's just like a whole nother, I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like there was way more Asgard in Thor than I thought there was going to be though. Like the first like 45 minutes is all Asgard.
Okay, you know what the best part of Thor 1 is? Loki. Done.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, Chris Hemsworth is Thor. That's the best part of Thor. Mm. Loki's amazing.
I love Loki.
But Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
I mean, yeah.
Like, he is Thor.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
But Tom Hiddleston is, like, Loki.
Right. He's second only to Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Yeah. Anyways, so, but I should, like, go through and figure out where all of the Marvel movies rank for me.
Yeah.
I feel like Iron Man 2 is farther down there, too. But
oh, I hope so.
I feel like that one, but I need to go through
Iron Man
2,
Yeah. The worst. That's another. That's one.
That was another one where I thought I liked it, and then I didn't really.
If we had a list of like you rewatched it and it was just what you thought it was, maybe even worse or better. Like if you thought it was good, it was even better than you thought, or you thought it was bad, it was even worse than you thought. Iron Man 2 is even worse than I thought.
Yeah. And Iron Man 3 was a good buddy movie, but it doesn't fit the Marvel canon.
I need to rewatch Iron Man 3.
Oh
I've
my
only
God,
seen
Iron
it once.
Man 3 is amazing. What are you talking about?
Not interested.
Who am I surrounded by? It's a Shane Black movie, like all the way, 100%.
What he gave us was Lethal Weapon. We didn't want Lethal Weapon with Iron Man.
Yeah, what else do you want?
He's too old for this shit, you know? Oh my God. Kim, what is your number three?
Cabin in the Woods.
Whoa.
How are you going with this? Slow down.
I know. You guys are really scared.
Slow the fuck down.
Ricardo might get more upset than I am currently about his opinion on Iron Man 3.
From bad to worse, or good to bad?
The same as all my rest of the ones. From bad to good.
Oh, okay. Good.
I have a pattern. So the first time I saw it,
Kim, you got scared, by the way. When we said, whoa,
I was like, do I need to leave?
Did you think we were going to shit on Cabin in the Woods?
No. No, I did not think you were going to shit on it. I thought you were going to shit on me for not liking it. But I do. I do like it now.
Okay. But the first time...
So the first time I saw it, I did not know it was supposed to be a comedy. And like I thought I was supposed to be scared and all of this stuff. And I just wasn't. And I was so disappointed. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I went in to see it. And was just... And like, honestly, I left in the middle of it because I really did not like it. I was just like, this is just stupid. Like I was so angry. And so I left. And then I kept getting told by my old roommate it's his favorite movie ever. And he just kept talking and talking about how great it was and how I need to watch it again with a different mindset and blah, blah, blah. So I did and loved it. So
yeah.
Yeah, I just needed to know that it was like a satire and making fun of, or not really making fun of. It was
like a love letter to horror movies.
Yeah, and once I saw it with that mindset, it really did change like everything for me and made like because it was the opening scene where they're in that when they're in that room and he like throws the football out the window and she's like, I mean, it's just all the stupid like cliche stuff. I was just like, this is awful. This is so bad.
But it's funny. It's funny. Yeah,
like, it was so Chris Hemsworth bad. Again.
Yeah.
And
it's funny seeing this movie and then watching like an actual like cheesy horror movie after this. Because you're like, oh man, look at all the tropes.
Of this.
It's all the same beat. Yeah, it's all the same beat. It just depends on your expectation.
Yeah. Well, and I love satires. Like, I really love satire films. So I think it's more disappointing the fact that I didn't realize that it was a satire, kind of. And not, I mean, kind of making fun of scary movies. And like, I love Scream. Scream's one of my all time favorites. And that it's very much in the same vein. And I didn't even realize.
It's like one of those satirical websites that aren't The Onion, that like CNN falls for being like a real story.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like, it's just, it's not quite on point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just like anytime anyone posts something on Facebook that's from The Onion and then there's like someone that comments that's like, what? That is so crazy. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. There's a great blog that feeds all the comments in on Onion articles. Like, they can't be true.
That's absurd. Yes, you're right.
But also, yeah, I could see how like, if you don't know the tone of the movie and you go in with a certain expectation, you're like, oh man, this is a weird movie. Like, what are we doing?
I felt like I went into it thinking it was supposed to be scary, but I actually was, I kind of feel like I was pleasantly surprised that it was different than what I thought going into it. But I also knew that it wasn't going to be like, I knew it was going to be like written well, not like a scary movie too. So I guess I kind of went into it knowing it was going to be something different, but not.
Yeah,
exactly.
I had no idea what I was going in to watch.
You know what's so funny?
Clearly.
Is that
I do this a lot. This
do you know, I think we know this mutual person. Do you know Nat Dyson?
Who?
Nat Dyson. Natasha. Think... Really tall girl.
Dixon?
Dixon.
It's Dyson?
Yeah, Dixon. You don't know her, do you?
Tall.
I probably do. I'm you the know worst,
Nate.
You guys.
It's Nate, not Nat. I thought it was Nate.
Whatever.
Or Nat.
Nat.
Oh.
Nat. Whatever. I showed her the movie. She was,
you guys don't even know her name?
I haven't seen her in forever. I feel
she used to be here all the time. Right. And we showed her the movie and she hates horror movies. Like, she hates them. And the whole time she kept going, fuck this movie, turn it off. I'm really scared. And like easily scared by things, right?
Yeah.
And the whole time she's like, I don't want to see this movie. Oh no, I don't want to see this movie. And then the end, I'm like, you have to just sit through it. And at the end, she's like, I'm so glad you made me watch this. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, the end is just such, it turns into such a awesome movie at the end.
Yeah.
I loved it. Everybody's great in this movie.
It just gets really ridiculous.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to rewatch that movie now.
Yeah. Great. Now we have to watch that movie.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go watch American Psycho. We'll watch.
Yeah.
Kevin Woods. My number, where are we? What number are we?
Two.
My number two is take it right now, is a movie just didn't make me feel good when I first saw it. And it wasn't that I hated it, just didn't make me feel good. But then after watching it again, it's one that I would consider almost a masterpiece. I would consider it a masterpiece.
But was it meant to not make you feel good?
Yeah, but
in which case I call bullshit on your list of options.
Yeah, I know, but it made me feel so bad that I almost didn't like it. It was almost like, no, I'm not a fan. And it's Eyes Wide Shut.
Interesting.
It was to the point, it made me feel so like gross and weird, and that I didn't, I was like, I don't like this movie.
Like, not violated, but like you were the violator.
Yeah. In a weird way. Yeah. It didn't make me feel good about myself.
You're not making me feel good by how much I liked it then, the first time I saw it.
But what, did you lower my volume?
I did.
Damn.
Which
you,
one's mine?
Jenny. I don't know.
That's mine. Sorry, I'm sorry.
I was like, my mic went out. But after a second viewing, I love this movie. I would consider a masterpiece.
Really good.
It's a masterpiece.
I don't think I've ever seen Eyes Wide Shut. Open? Shut? What is it?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
It's Eyes Wide Open.
Open? What
is
it?
You've
definitely never
open.
Seen this movie.
It's Creed.
Eyes Wide Open.
Oh, that's Creed, yeah.
And it's...
Arms Wide Open.
Arms Wide Open.
All right.
So, I saw Eyes Wide Shut, and this is Stanley Kubrick's last completed film.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, he had an AI, but Spielberg directed that. But it didn't make me feel good. I don't like how I felt about myself. I don't like how I felt about people in general. And then have been watching it again on DVD and stuff. It's just like you're blown away by how, well, just the fact that he was able to make you feel that way. You know what I mean? And like, it's, and just how craft, like his skill as a director. I mean, you can't say you hate any Kubrick movies. I would go on a limb and say that. Well, she probably would.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would just be repeating everything I've said about every Kubrick movie, where it's like, I think really the pacing is what draws you in.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about the flow of it that feels comfortable in a way. Like, as far as the viewing experience goes, you just feel comfortable watching it, but then what you see may not make you comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, like Clockwork Orange, like
you
can't say that you were comfortable watching that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
And here's the thing. Even though that movie is a great, like, it's also a masterpiece, and I like watching it, and I love it, I would never confess to anybody that's my favorite movie. Just because of what they would say about me.
But I would say, talking about American Psycho, Clockwork Orange, I would say, is far funnier than American Psycho. When we... You were with us when we went and rewatched it, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
At the screening with Gary Oldman?
No, it wasn't. No, it was me. It was her.
Oh, that's her. Okay, so...
We get mixed up all the time. It's fine. Yeah.
They look so much alike. Oh, yeah.
Who am I talking to right now? But I hadn't seen it in so long, and I forgot how hilarious it is.
Yeah,
like so often in the movie, like just absurd humor. American Psycho, it gets like this weird Bret Easton Ellis satirical thing, but Clockwork Orange gets absurd.
Yeah,
like, and but it's that same thing of like it's dark, but it's interesting and funny, and I would say it's fine to say it's one of your favorite movies if you want to say Clockwork Orange. I would say American Psycho is maybe less of a good idea to say it's one of your favorite movies.
No.
At least in Clockwork Orange, there's redemption.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But here's the thing about Eyes Wide Shut, is that the only complaint I have, well, I love Sidney Pollack, but if it was up to Stanley Kubrick, he would have had the first person he cast in the movie, which was Woody Allen in that part. I would have loved to see Woody Allen in that part.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would want to see that movie with Woody Allen.
Yeah, it's hard to say how that would be pulled off now.
We'll see.
Because what was Eyes Wide Shut? 97? 98? 99. 99?
Yeah.
That late?
Yeah.
So it's post Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Yeah. I love all those movies though. Curse of the Jade Scorpion, anything else. I love all of them.
Curse of the Jade Scorpion is such shit.
You can't, Woody Allen can't do, I'm not gonna lie, Woody Allen can't do wrong.
He can't do wrong?
No.
Woody Allen can't do wrong.
Movie wise, yeah. No. Personally, I don't know, but movie wise, he can't do no wrong. I love everything he's done.
I think
Small Time Crooks, everything.
I feel like there's a pretty good argument against that, but that's fine. Anyone who makes a movie a year is going to trip and fall every once in a while.
Whatever. Eyes Wide Shut, again.
I mean, that's a lot of years. That's a lot of movies.
That's a lot of movies.
Like, to be fair.
From
a lot of movies.
I know. I'm being fair to him.
I hear
you.
Yeah. But I just enjoy everything he does. Just put it out there.
Everything he does?
Everything. God damn you. All right, so that's my number four. My number two, sorry. What is your number two?
All right, my number two... All right, so I have to do one that's that I didn't like when I first saw it, and then I wanted to give it another shot, but I found it only worse than the first time I saw it.
Wow.
Whoa.
And this is something I rewatched last Friday.
Oh.
What do you got, dude? What do you got?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It is even worse than I thought it was.
I do need to rewatch that one. I need to rewatch
Holy
that.
Is it terrible.
I love
It might be the worst script Christopher Nolan has ever worked from.
Wait, I thought you didn't like The Dark Knight Rises.
No, I love it. That's Adam, I think.
There are so many moments that pull you out of The Dark Knight Rises because of how terribly it's written. There's, okay, a couple examples. Because it's fresh in my head.
So this went from good to... From okay
this
to...
This went from... I walked out of it being like, ugh, super disappointed.
Bad to worse.
To holy shit, this is just bad. It's just a bad movie. Oh. So there's a part where Catwoman is trying to get access to this program called Clean Slate, right?
Yeah.
So the first, the look on your face, you know what I'm about to say.
I know.
We're like,
I hate apologizing for this.
So Chris Nolan can do no wrong either, by the way.
Where it's like, the first guy she talks to, he's like, she's like, I need the program. He's like, oh, Clean Slate? The thing that will erase anyone's identity. You just enter their name and it erases it right away. And then about 15 minutes later, no, not even that, maybe 7 minutes later, there's a scene where she's got a guy pinned on the ground and he's like in distress. And he's like, oh, you mean the program where you just put someone's name in and their whole history is erased? They have no criminal record. Like this whole, the most painful exposition like that you can have. You agree, right?
Yeah.
It's bad. It is so bad. Also, the whole movie is spoken in disjointed monologues.
Yeah.
that in any other movie would be like, oh, we're building up to a thing where someone is going to like give their like emotional state in a monologue. But that's what this movie entirely consists of. Joseph Gordon-Levitt somehow knows Christian Bale is Batman because he's also an orphan. Yeah. And he knows
the look in the face.
He knows. No, orphans, no, no, no. He knows. What he says is, I know the mask we put on. Yeah. Ricardo's eyes just rolled in the back of his head when I said that. That is the line he says.
I know. I still love this movie.
So many moments in this movie. And it's just, it's so bad because it makes me rethink how much I love The Dark Knight, which I really love. But I'm
that
like,
can't be true.
I love The Dark Knight so much. I watch The Dark Knight Rises. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is the entire reason I love The Dark Knight because of how amazing Heath Ledger is? I think it might be how great he is that overshadows all the other bullshit that is peppered throughout a Christopher Nolan thing that is completely devoid of any emotion. Like, he has no idea how to put emotion on screen.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Michael Mann's his hero. He doesn't know how to do it either.
Mann is my hero, dude.
I know. And you don't know how to do it either.
Hurry, cut away. Someone's starting to cry. Cut away.
But it's so like there are scenes where someone's trying to put forth like
I'm always apologizing for Christopher Nolan and Michael Mann. Mostly Michael Mann.
And I love Michael Mann. I do love Michael Mann. I accept him for his faults. But there are just so many moments in The Dark Knight Rises where it's so painful to just see it play out. I can't imagine them in the editing room being like, okay, that's good. Let's move on.
Lock that scene.
Yeah, lock scene. Scene 75. Let's go for that one.
All right. So from bad to worse. That was bad to worse. I don't want to talk about this movie.
So, you're in the state I was when you said you don't like Iron Man 3.
Yeah, yeah. Jenny, what is your number two?
All right, my number two is one that I didn't get because I think I might have been too young. I don't know why, because it's not that old of a movie. But I didn't like it, and then I rewatched it, and I liked it, and it's I Heart Huckabees.
Really?
I didn't get I Heart Huckabees
and
the
then,
first time I saw
and then
it.
You liked it
I still haven't seen it a second time.
Oh, really?
I saw it the first time and had that same feeling.
You still don't
I
was like,
this is... don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm good.
I really liked it.
Oh, I love it.
I think it was like one to see it again.
Yeah, it was like one of them that actually got me to, like you guys talking about it, that got me to finally
see it again.
I think I even have it. Yeah. Like
I do too.
Like I have
it. I know. I don't know why I bought it, but I did. And
so I haven't seen it in forever either, but I feel like, and I loved it the first time I saw it, but I feel like I could lob the same complaints I had about Waking Life at I Heart Huckabees.
No.
The freshman year philosophy thing. I feel like I could lob that at I Heart Huckabees and still be valid, even though I loved it when I first saw it.
Here's the thing about both Waking Life and I Heart Huckabees, which both delve into similar like topics, is that, that's something you would have gotten, you know, reading some philosophy book.
First time I read about Plato's Cave and all that shit.
But I mean, rewatching both of them just recently, I have a friend and our mutual friend, Jeff, and he comes every Sunday, and I literally just rewatch movies with him, that movies he hasn't seen that I've seen. And I've introduced him to all like the Linklater movies, and I introduced him to this. We just recently watched this, maybe like 2 weeks ago.
Huckabees.
And I feel about it the same way I did from when I first saw it. It still holds up for me, like being great. And so you went from bad to worse, from bad to good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think changed your mind? Like, were you a little bit more grown up?
Yeah, I think I was more grown up. I think I literally saw this either in theaters or like right after it came out of theaters, and it's 2004, so that was like early high school for me. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to think that it had to be like, I didn't understand movies. I just watched chick flicks and the easy stuff to watch because it was easy to understand. And this, I just didn't, it just flew right over my head. I didn't get the humor. I didn't get like anything about it.
Yeah.
But maybe, now maybe it's like a little bit funnier.
Maybe you're now into existentialism.
Maybe. Yeah. At least I can like laugh about existentialism, you know, and be like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Craziest part of I Heart Huckabees is how great Mark Wahlberg is with the right directors.
Yeah.
He is either one of the best
or one of the worst.
Or the absolute worst. Yeah. Like, there's no in between with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it's true.
We sat through his worst.
Holy shit. No, The Happening is probably worse.
No, Transformers is the worst.
No, he's way better in Transformers than he is in The Happening.
I'm an inventor.
Guys, it's the plants.
Guys, it's the plants.
What's his name in Transformers 4?
Oh, fuck.
Kale.
What is it? No.
It doesn't matter. Okay. But I Heart Huckabees.
No, it does matter.
You loved.
I like it. I don't think I can say I love it, but I still liked it. I can actually recommend it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And everyone's so great, and it's fun seeing Jonah Hill. So
it's a really good cast.
Oh my gosh,
really
I have
cast.
To see this movie.
You haven't seen? Oh, like, you don't remember?
I mean, I don't remember. I just remember that I didn't like it, and I didn't need to see it again.
Yeah. Well, it's been like 10 years since it came out. Can you imagine? Like, I had to have been so young when it came out. I feel like my mind has completely changed.
Sophomore year in high school.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Change your mind. Everyone's so good.
We're still grown up.
Yeah, Schwartzman.
Señorita. Can you tell me why? I love.
Yeah,
I love,
that was a funny line.
I love. Mark Wahlberg in this.
He's really good. It might be the only time Lily Tomlin has like genuinely entertained me. Also,
I love Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, she's always
like
great.
Lily
but
Tomlin. I love her. So
she's
much.
Always good, but she was just never my thing. I guess I don't know.
I dug her.
No, she's amazing in I Heart Huckabees. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. By the way, Mark Wahlberg's character in Transformers, Cade Yeager.
Cade Yeager. He's the best. That's the best name.
The worst.
Best name. What is your number
two? Almost as good as Ducks Maloney.
Maloney. Ducks Maloney. The star of Ricardo's next screenplay.
Yeah.
Quack, quack, ducks.
So my number two is Napoleon Dynamite. Okay. And this is the first one where I went from liking it first to not liking it.
I am right on board with you.
Okay. I'm on board with you too.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't rewatched it, but I feel like I would be too.
The first time I saw it, I just loved it.
What the fuck was I thinking, right?
Great. Yeah. And like I quoted it for months.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again and I was like, "What was I thinking? Like why did I feel the need to quote this movie for so long?" And like I just I don't know.
I have a feeling there's still some funny scenes in it still that I laugh at.
Yeah, and there's the acting is okay. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like there's really things about it that I'm like, I just hate that movie because it's just so bad. It's just, it's not as good as I thought it was. Like, it's just,
You bruise my neck meat.
Like, there's funny, like, it's a fun movie to quote. Like, it kind of goes back to the, what movie were we talking about? Was it not Anchorman, Step Brothers?
Yeah.
It's a great movie to quote, but it doesn't mean that it's a great movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's my second one.
I guess the ultimate lesson is there are still people you'll see walking around in Vote for Pedro shirts.
Yeah.
Do you?
I met Pedro.
Do you think that's interesting?
I thought it was so cool.
Do you think that's interesting, or do you feel sad every time you see someone in a shirt?
I don't feel sad. I mean, like if I really thought about it, I probably would because it's like God, society, ugh. But you know, like that feeling of like, gosh,
I don't mean existential sadness for the world.
We just feed into everything, but like, I just it doesn't make me feel sad. It makes me think about the movie is funny in parts, but
I'm not talking about you see footage from like some Namibian refugee camp and they're in Vote for Pedro shirts that were sent from the thrift store. Yeah.
No.
Like some guy like in North Dakota. And it's brand new. Like he just bought it at Target or something.
A guy, a little too big for the size of shirt he bought. Yeah. You know?
I like wearing shirts like that. Just a little too big.
I, as a movie, again, I loved it too. And then rewatching, I'm like, was I was I smoking pot back then? What's going on? I wasn't smoking pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all too young for that.
Oh, you bruised my neck meat.
That is funny. That is still a funny line.
There's still things that I still love quoting from that movie.
Well, I mean, it's like the one-liners in it that make it funny and make you want to rewatch it. And then when you rewatch it, you realize there's like nothing to it.
Yeah.
Like, man, I was really caught up in that moment.
Kip, wasn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a line for everyone in that movie. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, so everyone can find at least one line in there that they're going to use for the rest
of
the year.
What's the name of his brother's girlfriend? Kip, LaDonna?
LaFonda.
LaFonda.
I want that.
he's like Kip, how's it going with your girlfriend, Kip? Yeah. And he's like, we're pretty much dating. it's pretty much getting really serious.
Because like you say the one-liners and you laugh at him and it's like, oh, yeah. I'll go see that again.
The neck meat thing is making me laugh.
Don't see it again.
Yeah. It's like, damn, Tina, you slob.
Tina, eat your dinner.
You fat slob. I love quoting it, but it's not a good movie. Mm-hmm. my recap, and then my number five was The Godfather 3. 4 was Lost in Translation. 3 was American Psycho. 2, Eyes Wide Shut. And my number one from 1977, Saturday Night Fever. I watched it the first time. Didn't like it. I'm like, this is the equivalent of a musical, but dancing. And then I watched it maybe like 2 years after. And I'm like, this is genius. This is a masterpiece. Why did I hate it in the beginning?
So good.
I fucking love this movie.
It's not a musical either at all.
No, this is the dancing equivalent of a musical.
There's more dancing to music in Boogie Nights probably than Saturday Night Fever.
But I love this movie now. I love it. I own it in 3 formats: DVD, Blu-ray, and
Oculus Rift,
and digital copy, and VHS.
And VHS. Oh my! But I love this movie. I like the music. I like quoting it. I love it. I like John Travolta in it.
So good.
It's amazing.
Like, one of the first student films I did was taking a piss out of like the opening of Saturday Night Fever with like the paint bucket and stuff. It was really good. It's an amazing movie.
It's just interesting. It's
intense drama.
It's an intense drama, and I think it's one of Travolta's best like performances. He's really great in it. He's really good in it, and everyone else who's in all the character actors in it are great.
The fuck? Don't touch my hair.
I like how he eats dinner. He eats it with like this like weird like cape, barber's cape on him.
He doesn't want to get anything on him.
Yeah. Have you seen this movie ever, Kim?
No.
Okay, you should.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it is fun. Yeah. If you ever see it like screening somewhere, I bet that'd be a really fun screening to go to.
Yeah. A lot of people love the outdoor screening series. I don't because
the worst.
I want the sound. I want the 35mm.
Depends on the movie.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to hear the asshole next to me talking about the wine and sandwiches they got at
Trader Joe's
at Matza or like Mendocino Farms or whatever the fuck. Like, this is a really good veggie sandwich.
Yeah, but okay. So, but last summer I went to go see Sleepless in Seattle, and how many times have I seen that movie where it didn't matter what scene someone was talking over? It was just like a cool setting to be able to say I was in Grand Park downtown with the City Hall behind me.
Okay, I'll agree with that. But
in watching Sleepless in
Seattle, I don't like when they like when they show Jaws and stuff like that. I'm like, no, you need to see that in 35mm.
Watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch it on film. I don't want
to
watch
a
Blu-ray copy of it.
Well, you can't go to one of those movies where and expect to like enjoy the movie.
I know, like they do like Chinatown.
Yeah,
like,
you just have to enjoy the experience.
They do like Chinatown
so
in the cemetery.
That's why you go see like Bridesmaids and Pulp Fiction and stuff.
That's
stupid.
Yeah.
Because halfway through you're going to be like, oh fuck, I forgot how good this movie is. I want to watch it.
And everyone's fucking talking.
And everyone's fucking talking, yeah. You're all carefree like about half an hour, 45 minutes in, and then you're like, oh fuck, here's Quinn's speech is coming up.
Yeah, and this isn't even...
Shut the fuck up.
And I'm watching on a Blu-ray that, you know, like, it's just... it makes me angry.
Probably
and the sound
not,
is shitty.
Probably a DVD.
Probably.
Actually.
And the quality's, like, the audio is really shitty. And,
yeah, that's the other problem. It's not an actual screening.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
You might as well just be watching it. You might as well just take your laptop to the park.
It's more of like an event.
Yeah.
It's more of like an event with that in the background.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a party at the park, a picnic with someone playing in the background.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's a movie I've seen a million times, if it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, then maybe. But
speaking of which,
That would be no big deal.
Sorry, this is a tangent, but in that Milius doc, talking about Jaws, where Spielberg called up Milius and is like, we got this speech, Quint's monologue from Jaws, and he's like, we got this thing, it's not, you know, quite working or whatever, and like over the phone, he writes this like 7-page thing that then Robert Shaw went and pared down to like a page and a half.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like, and like that's the other thing about Milius that makes me so happy is that it's really a filmmaking community.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, like I feel like I have a family of filmmaking friends that just they're amazing. Yeah. And I feel like that's I felt like I was John Milius in the thing. You know, like you they do a good job of kind of putting you in his place and being like, wow, like that's I feel like that's where like the next wave, like we are the next wave almost. And like that felt good.
Even a lot of times you're thinking like they're always talking about their fucked up friend, John Milius. The guy who was always too loud at the party.
Yeah.
The guy who smelled.
The one who brought a gun and he was always wearing the same jacket. Yeah. Like, that's me. But that's so mean.
But everyone's like, no, he's fucking good. He's just insufferable.
Yeah.
So what was your number? What was your recap? Did we get to
yours? Oh, my my recap?
Yeah.
What was my recap? Okay, my number 5 was Batman, Robin, and Catwoman.
Yeah.
My number 4 was, what was that, Wayne's World 2?
Yeah.
Number 3 was American Psycho.
Yeah.
Number 2 was...
I think you're just making this up now, but all right.
No, what was my number 2? I don't remember what my number 2 was.
What's your number 1 then? What's your number 1?
Anyway, my number 1... I walked out of this movie.
Whoa.
I saw this when I was probably 16-ish. Walked out of it. Went to college. Did a bunch of drugs. Found a love for the movie. Can you guess what it is? I'm looking at Ricardo.
Yeah. It's going to be Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It is. The first syllable is right.
I don't know. I'm not good at
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
You're not good at syllables. What you gonna say?
You walked out of this movie?
I walked out.
I had already. Really? I had already.
And I'll tell you, I walked out because there's the part where because I hadn't done anything at that point. I didn't know really what drugs were or what they did to you or anything. And so
like, I didn't know drugs were so fun.
Well, there's a scene where he walks into the casino and he's all fucked up on ether. And like all, and he's seeing like everyone as a reptile, and it was just really like off-putting for me. Like I was uncomfortable. Like it didn't sit right with me. And then I went and I did drugs. I knew what they did and how they made you feel.
And then you saw people turn into reptiles, and how they made you see things.
And I was like, oh, this movie is amazing.
Wait, what?
Like, I got it. I kind of got it.
Well, I won't go there, never mind.
it's funny. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So the first time I saw it, I wasn't high. But it made me feel high.
Well, that's probably what it was then.
Yeah, that probably made you feel uncomfortable.
That's where I was. I was with my dad in the movie.
You're like, Dad, I feel really high.
But like, even at the time, like, my dad, you know, my dad.
My shell's getting tight.
But like, my dad did marijuana and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm sure he was watching it and just like, he doesn't know at all what the fuck's going on. I was the one who turned to him and be like, I want to go. I don't feel comfortable. Like, I don't think this is very good. I don't like this very much. And this is Terry Gilliam. I love Terry Gilliam. Like Brazil. At this point, Brazil was in my top 2 movies of all time. Like, I loved Brazil more than anything. I had seen all 4 versions, you know, multiple times. You know, the US, the UK, Criterion, all that shit. But I just couldn't do it. But then I rewatched it and I found a love for it.
I love this movie.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. It is really good.
I still don't think I've seen it all the way through.
Even it's beyond the drug stuff. Like, I think I learned to like it a lot more.
I always pass out halfway through.
Yeah.
Especially Benicio Del Toro.
Here's the thing. Every time I'm drunk and people tell me I'm drunk, I imagine I'm like Benicio Del Toro in that movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, knowing you drunk, that does make total sense.
Yeah. I'm like the nice version of Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah, well, he wasn't an asshole, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. But I was like, wait a minute. All right. So that is your number 1.
It's my number 1.
Jenny, what's your recap?
All right. So my recap is 5 was Scott Pilgrim, 4 was Step Brothers, 3 was Thor, 2 was I Heart Huckabees, and my number 1 is actually The Shining.
The Shining, huh?
And I hated The Shining the first time I saw it. I don't know that I even thought it was scary. I thought it was just like, I saw it too young, and it was with the wrong people, and I just didn't like it. I don't know. And now, of course, it's like one of my favorite movies. I have no reason to for why I didn't like it. Maybe I just didn't get it.
It's a weird movie. How old were you when you first saw it?
I had to have been like middle school or like elementary.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That was the movie that I watched that it was before I started my period. I told my mom that when I did start my period that I was going to yell The Shining.
As far as lines of demarcation goes.
The elevators. And I thought that was so funny when I was that age.
Did you tell her that?
I did.
You're like,
I was
the
like,
Shining,
Mom,
The Shining.
The Shining. And she was like, oh, I know what that means. Yeah.
And then the elevator doors open.
And just the floodgates. I thought you guys would like that. Yeah.
Well, now every time someone says The Shining, I'm going to think somebody on their period.
I'm going to think of Kim's period.
Kim's first period. You're welcome. Jen,
so when did you rewatch it again as like a grown-up?
It had been
adult?
Like even high school.
Oh, okay.
I watched it just like high school. By that time, I loved horror movies, and I understood, like, because The Shining isn't just a scary movie. It's so much more than that.
It's psychological.
Yeah.
It's not even really, it's not
I mean,
really a
yeah.
horror movie.
I mean, yeah. It's so much, it's crazy, yeah. So it's, I think I just
what
didn't understand
movie.
The psychological stuff.
It's such a good movie.
It is. Yeah. I love it now. Yeah. I love so it. Good. I didn't like that everyone else liked it. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
I was weird.
Jenny
I was
too cool for school.
I was one of those
school.
Kids. Yeah.
She's like, nah, not a fan.
I don't like it because everyone
else likes
it.
Have you guys seen
it.
Billy Madison?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's God, that should be one. That
I
should be on this
that
list. That should be on this list.
But so you have you seen it recently?
The Shining?
Yeah.
I'm sure like a couple of years ago probably. Yeah. I feel the same
That's
way.
One of those movies where it's good to catch a screening of it once in a while. Like it's
I would love to see it as a screening. Yeah. I would love to see it near Halloween, probably.
You know what I just found out? And people who are LA locals, the Lawrence of Arabia is screening on 70mm at the Arrow Theater. So.
I've never seen that. I need to see that.
That's at either the Arrow or the Egyptian.
The Arrow. I know.
Every other month.
It's happening at the end of this month.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the Egyptian.
The Arrow's good too.
Yeah.
I like how when it's a recent movie, like if it's we saw The Grey and Narc together with a Q&A with Joe Carnahan. Mm-hmm. It was really
very cool.
I saw Drive there with a Q&A with I don't even remember his name. Ryan.
Oh,
Nicholas Refn.
Yeah.
Nicholas Wendig Refn.
Yep, him.
Winding.
Thank you.
What is your recap and your number one?
My recap is number 5 was Requiem for a Dream, mm-hmm. I think. 4 was Elf, mm-hmm. and then Cabin in the Woods and Napoleon Dynamite. And my number 1 is Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Yeah. The first time I saw that. Well, I saw it in bits and pieces, and so I couldn't fully like appreciate the movie, and I kept talking about how stupid it was, and my cousin was like, you need to watch it again. Like, just watch it again all the way through and give it a chance. So I did, and I don't know, I watched it when I was older, like when I moved out here, and every movies are just different when you watch them in LA than whenever you watch them from like back in Missouri where I'm from. Like they're just different. I don't know.
How old were you when you first saw it?
Or I was in high school. Anyway. High school age. Okay. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, when I first moved out here, I watched it again. I was house sitting and they had it in their little library. And so I was like, okay, this is the time I need to watch it. And did, and it was so good. So good.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
So many of, like, just the little, like, not even the big pieces of the movie, not the trailer scenes, just something so simple could be so crazy. Like, one of the, this is going to sound really weird, but one of the funniest moments is when they shoot the guy's head off.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
Yeah, like, I mean, even when you're expecting it, like, it still makes me jump, even though I'm expecting it. Like, yeah. I know it's coming.
and it surprises me every time.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Because he's like, ah, oh, damn. He's like, I blew his head off.
Like, and then just like the like nonchalant, like, yeah, yeah. Like, okay, we got to fix it now. Yeah. But like, you just blew a guy's head off.
And how like Samuel Jackson is so mad because he's got blood in his hair. That's just like,
oh, yeah.
He's got the pieces of brain yeah. stuck in his throat. Yeah.
Oh, gross.
It is such a fun movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My when it was in theaters here, my dad and I used to rent Laserdisc from this place called Laserland in Denver.
Yeah. Laserdiscs?
Laserdiscs from a place called Laserland, and it was amazing. But they had a bunch of imports, and they had a bunch of bootleg imports for rent.
Ooh. Oh, gosh.
So they had Pulp Fiction. And it wasn't like a cam or anything. It was like a straight up
yeah.
like copy like, of the movie.
Yeah.
So I remember he rented it and he's like, okay, well, watch the first scene because I think you'll really love the dialogue. I'm like 12 or 13 or something. And so the first scene plays is the Royale with cheese, like in the car and stuff. And yeah. I'm really enjoying it. And he just lets it play through.
Nice. Man. Hey. You know,
it was really, amazing.
Really, there's nothing. I mean, a lot of people...
There's violence, but it's cartoon yeah. violence.
Here's the thing about yeah. violence is that people yeah. complain too much about violence in video games and movies, but it's like, violence is as old as the Bible. Like, you can't... Yeah. Once you blame the Bible, it's really violent as well.
Yeah, watch Passion yeah. of Christ.
Yeah. yeah.
I just had this conversation with someone where it's like, everyone gets all hopped up on like gun violence and yeah. like people shooting everyone everywhere, but I don't think that's the more dangerous violence. I think the more dangerous violence depicted is the everyday thing of like, there's an episode of Seventh Heaven and like two guys get into a fight and like they exchange punches, like one guy punches yeah. another guy three times, where in real life one punch can them. Fuck someone up for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah,
like they can, like their jaw can break, their yep. bones in their face can break, like they can have reconstructive surgery like after one punch.
Yeah,
everyone gets all hopped up on the guns, but like when you see in a movie someone just, I remember what I was rewatching like Fast 6 I think recently, and like the scene they always have, like there's the big guy matching up against yep. the other big guy.
Yeah.
So there's like the guy and then the Rock steps in.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those guys throws one punch,
you're dead.
That guy's down.
Yeah.
That guy's down and in surgery for months.
Where you might get shot yeah. and live through it. Like 50 Cent, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Or you die, whatever. But we all get how dangerous
yeah,
guns
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
yeah.
But like everyone's like, oh, they'll just, you know, punch me in the face or whatever. But like you could be fucked up forever after
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. But the movie is great. I love Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt a little bit about Jackie Brown. At first, I was like, "Ah, it's okay." Then, yeah. on second viewing, I really love Pam Grier. I love everybody in Jackie Brown.
I don't like Jackie Brown more.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jackie Brown's his best movie.
I think it might be. It's really good.
Coincidentally, it's his most original, and it's based off a book.
Yeah,
it's his most
Elmore
original.
Elmore yeah. Leonard always said it was the best adaptation of anything he did.
Yeah, yeah. I love that movie. Great. De Niro's like so subtle in that. I'm digging. Good picks, guys.
Thanks. Yeah.
Good picks. Again, you can go to Lady Rooster.
Yeah, LadyRooster.com
to find out about Kim's movie. Mm-hmm. Check that out. You can find us on Twitter at the lists. No, that's wrong. Totally wrong. You can find us on Twitter at...
Start the podcast over.
You can find us on Twitter at the film podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
At BL Bennett.
I'm at Jhenigh, JHENIGH.
Yeah.
And Kim Beavers, 11.
So there was
super original guys.
There's 10 other Kim Beavers?
Yeah, I guess.
If you're 11.
Yeah. I mean, 11 is just my favorite number.
Oh, so. Okay. So there might be only one other Kim Beavers.
There's quite a bit, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, look on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're 11.
But I'm the best one, yeah. So.
Double digits.
Yeah, double digits.
All right. So go to Lady Rooster.
You're number one? Twice.
Twice. Yeah. Exactly.
Go to Lady Rooster to find out about her film and stuff like that. If you want to donate
yes,
to there. And what else? Next week. No. So this episode will air this week. In a couple of days, I'll post the Canon Films episode I did with Eric Peterson. And it's really fun. We get to talk about American Ninja, which is one of my favorites.
Are you posting this one before that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one has a lot of work because I'm putting posters up on the thing.
I thought that one was going to go up first, and so I was like, this is going to be irrelevant.
This is going to go up tonight.
Got it.
All right. Until next time. Hey, guys, have a good week.